Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hello, Timothy.
JB, why don't you say where we are right now?
We are in the, I think it's Monte Carlo Bay Casino, which is nice.
For the World Rugby Awards, and we have got some very special treats for you on today's episode. We spoke to, let me think, who did we have a chat to? We spoke to, World Player of the Year, Beauden Barrett.
Oh yeah, yeah, we saw him, he was nice.
He actually took away with him the trophy for the World Player of the Year, and also something else, which will be revealed in a little bit.
Yeah, he was genuinely delighted with what we gave him. I think he feels it'll make him immortal.
Speaking of immortal, in rugby terms, Richie McCaw is coming up on the podcast. We chatted. I'd just forgotten that we did that.
Yeah, it's all gone a bit of a blur this evening. Yeah, Richie McCaw. And now I know he's a rugby god and he's here to talk about rugby. I literally would have loved to have done nothing but talk to him about helicopters.
Yeah, one of the only men at the World Rugby Awards who could have taken advantage of the helipad on top of the hotel. So that's all to come, obviously. Keep your ears peeled for that. Eddie Jones as well, and Rico Ioane, and other things that you will hear, I'm sure, on future episodes as well. However, right now, we are without Phil. What is Phil doing this weekend?
I don't know, actually. He's not here, and if he's not here, he'll be working, mate. That's all he ever does.
Counting bricks. So, yeah, we're without Phil. However, we are going to break down some of the international rugby that we saw over, yesterday. And so we'll get into that. Quick reminder, you can find us on iTunes, on Acast, on any other platform. I've now moved over to Android, so I don't use any of them anymore. So, whatever your podcast provider is, leave your reviews,
subscribe, and tell your mates. We've come to Monaco. I still don't understand.
What's the difference between Monte Carlo and Monaco?
Because we're in both at the minute. I don't get it.
Yeah, Monte Carlo is an administrative district of Monaco. Is that a boring enough answer?
Fact.
So to make it really sexy, Monte Carlo is the district, the administrative district that looks after things like bins and council tax. So there you go, Monte Carlo.
There you go. I can also say that the streets of Monaco are... I don't need to go to one of those Christmas ice skating rinks because it's like
the whole place is made of marble. My leather-soled shoes just did not get on very well. Stacked it.
Yeah, if it's not made out of marble around here, it's a waste of time.
So we watched in Nice. We watched the rugby. Incredible weekend, and there's only one place to start as well.
Yeah, France, Japan. Yeah, if you want any analysis about France, Japan. This is not the podcast for you, because we were well on the way by the time France Japan kicked off.
JB turned up with like a massive like brandy glass with, it looked like iron brew in it. I don't know what that was.
Aeropol Spritz, I mean.
Yeah. I couldn't taste anything by that point. No, the big game then. Let's break down Scotland-Australia a little bit. Now, there's a lot of people, myself included, that thought that if Scotland can just continue where they got to with Vern Cotter, that would represent a success. But Gregor Ball has kicked things on.
Gregor Ball, is this what are you calling it?
Oh, I am now, yeah.
Gregonomics.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, quite phenomenal. And a try for one of the guys that I consider one of the nicest individuals in rugby, Byron McGuigan. I was absolutely delighted to see that. And what was more impressive, really, because without the talismanic Mr. Hoff.
Yeah, in the warm-up, I remember saying to you when Hogg was down, you said, oh, Hogg's out. I thought, oh, well, that's it. They've got their excuse ready-made. But eight tries...
There were... How many tries?
Eight tries.
Who scored eight tries?
Scotland.
No, they didn't. Did they really?
Yeah, I think that's right. Again, as JB said, we were well on the way, but I think I...
They only got 50 points.
They got over 50 points. And the last time Scotland racked up 50 points was in the 2007 World Cup against Portugal. They have never, I believe this is right, never put 50 past a Tier 1 nation.
That is remarkable, actually. That's absolutely remarkable. So, yeah, we both watched the game. Impressive as it was, the thing which stuck out for me more than anything was the ambition. But that's only really doable because of the rucking. The whole game is based around the ruck. And I think when you look back at it, what you'll see is just sheer accuracy around the breakdown.
Accuracy is a word. That maul was an absolute weapon as well. That was a new weapon they've unleashed this autumn. That mauling game was awesome.
I just think that. I think the improvement in the all-round game is fairly marked, but you know, there is an element of Australia getting a yellow card, Australia not quite being at full force on the end of their tour. Having said that,
red card.
Yeah. Having said that, you know, it's impressive.
So, 3 years ago, Scotland were battered by Wales, who racked up 50 points against them.
Oh God, we've got to play Scotland soon.
In 2009, Scotland's backline included Nick DeLuca, Simon Danieli,
wow,
and Hugo Southwell. But the backline that was out against Australia is frightening. With players to come back in, Hogg, as you mentioned, Dunbar. This is a force that's building.
And Hugh Jones is a proper player. I mean, yeah. What's he on now? Like 78 tries in 7 games?
79
tries. Phenomenal find. It seems to be like, you know when a team's good? Because when they start bringing in players, it improves the team. That's how you know that they've got a bit of depth. I couldn't be more impressed actually with Scotland.
No complaints with the red card?
You do though.
No, I can understand why it was given. And by the letter of the law, it is a red card, and I get it. I just there's a bit of me that thinks that red card, what that should represent is something really, really, really nasty, like gouging or stamping on someone's head. That's what a red card means. But
I'm kind of with you here. So it is definitely a red card. You know, you look at how the law should be applied. It was applied completely correctly, and because of that, it's a red card. But does it feel like a red card? No, it doesn't. I think red cards are for, like I say, gouging, striking, like behaviour which is not acceptable on a rugby pitch. It was illegal what he did. It should be a yellow card. I'm not entirely sure I'd want that to be a red card.
That's where we got to. I suppose there's no going back on that one. One story in amongst this Scotland performance is just amazing. Oh, by the way, there was one story which was, it was the end of a really coveted career for Stephen Moore, not a way that he would want to go out. But Daryl Marfo, like, what? Where would he have ranked in England props only a few months ago? Like
England, Scotland,
English. No, where would he have ranked if he'd followed the English lineage and he'd gone that way? He would have been maybe 37th choice, or maybe not. Probably
fourth choice in Doncaster.
Unbelievable story.
I mean, he wasn't really that highly rated coming into it. Presumably he will be now. Again, it's something which I say consistently, opportunity just as important as talent.
There was one moment I really enjoyed in this game when who was gassing in? Sean Maitland was gassing in for his try down the left wing. And did you see the Aussie lot Rob Simmons?
No.
You need to look at the video of this, it's really good. If you haven't seen it, go and check it out. Because Rob Simmons was, I can only describe it as running in treacle.
I did see it.
he was running like an octogenarian. The acceleration of an oil tanker. It was.
Yes, I know. I know exactly what you mean now.
So, we can't say enough good things about Gregor Ball and...
No, stop. You can't call it Gregor Ball. It's got to be something else.
Okay, so...
Put it on to Twitter.
At Rugby Podcast, we need a name for this. So there was Gatlin Ball, which was the bludgeoning
blunt instrument that Warren Gatland used with Wales. More on Wales in a little bit. What are we calling Gregor Ball? Because, yeah, you're right, Gregor Ball doesn't work. But there's got to be a word like muck. No. There's got to be a kind of...
Muck width.
Muck width.
Muck girth. Muck girth.
I really don't think girth is right, Jay.
Why? It's wide.
Girth is... Isn't girth like a circumference?
Yeah, rather than just pure width. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but width.
Oh, dear. Just remind you, we're in the Monaco, Monte Carlo Bay Hotel Casino.
We're surrounded, literally surrounded, by bona fide journalists everywhere.
Hashtag bona fide. We are surrounded by them, and I just feel uncomfortable with the word girth being used too many. So that's our girth quota done for this podcast. Tell you what... No, what I was going to say was, just looking forward for Scotland, they've got to be contenders, Six Nations.
Oh, massively. I mean, looking forward now, this Six Nations is going to be two tables. It's who can win the Six Nations B, Wales, France and Italy, and who can win the Six Nations A, Scotland, Ireland and England. It is going to be absolutely ferocious. I don't see any of the bottom three beating the top three.
Wow, I'm not sure I go with that, and I'm slightly eating humble pie because I did not see this Scotland performance. And bearing in mind what we said about Scotland last week, saying if they want this autumn to be regarded as a success, they have to win. But to win in that fashion, obviously Australia were pointing at the red card, but that wasn't going to change the result.
Yeah,
maybe the girth of the Scotland. No, that doesn't work. You're about to say something, Jay?
No. Other than I thought that Scotland could win it. I can't remember how I predicted it, but I didn't think they would. No. I thought they'd bottle it.
Right, OK, let's take a little break at this point and hear from one of the people we sat down with here at the World Rugby Awards in Monaco. Who would you like to hear from, JB? Who's your favourite chap?
Honestly, here's my favourite. I really like Rachel Burford.
Mm.
Got to say.
Yeah, she was an interesting character. Who are we going to hear from first?
Should
we go for the World Player of the Year?
Oh yeah, Bowden. Yeah, let's go Bowden.
Let's go for Bowden. You can hear the special Bowden. The special gift we gave Bowden.
Bowden Bonafide Barrett. Here he is.
Bowden Barrett is the proud owner of an Egg Chaser's tie.
It really touched him. You know, sometimes when you're doing this podcast, you can change people's lives for the better, and I feel that we've done that for Bowden.
You see, what's he got? A World Cup winner's medal.
Yep.
Super Rugby title.
Uh-huh. He's actually held the JB Cup before.
Yeah,
Not currently got it, but one day he'll get it back probably.
Yeah. Is he double World Player of the Year now? Double World Player of the Year.
Yeah, and double JB Cup holder.
Yep. Yeah, and now can add an Egg Chasers club tie to that accolade. Egg Chasers club ties, which will be available in Madrid when we go out on tour in March. We were mentioning the Six Nations in relation to Scotland earlier, and we're on the continent at the moment, so in fact this is kind of, you know, a few hundred miles from the Spanish coast. That's where we will be in March, so go to our Facebook page, Egg Chasers podcast, find out all the information. We're going on a tier 2 tour to see Spain against Germany and watch a load of Six Nations matches in a bar in Madrid, do a live rugby brunch podcast, which very, very special surprises.
Thanks to our friends in World Rugby, and as you can tell, they look after us fairly well. Something will be going down.
Something will indeed be going down. Right. You're going to hear from Richie McCaw, Eddie Jones and Rico Ioane in a little bit, but Wales. Come on, let's talk about Wales for a second. How do you react to that New Zealand performance? I thought there was some reasons to be optimistic, but it was pretty much what you expected to happen. Wales to sort of dig in for a bit and then get outdone at the end.
I think if Warren Gatland was a brand new coach coming into Wales, you'd say that is some really good progress. Fact is, he's been there for 10 years now. And, however long he's been there. And it just doesn't seem like they're in the right stage of their development for where they need to be with the World Cup relatively round the corner. It was bad. And if you think about, you know, what did the game prove to us? Well, we know Alan Wynne-Jones can work really hard. We've just put another 1,000 miles on his clock. We knew that Wales would be competitive until 60 minutes. Well, that's exactly what they did. And then they folded horrifically. I guess the only real positive for me is Owen Williams starting to look a bit more like a test player. In fact, no, scratch that. He looks like a test player. I like him a lot. Everything else, Halimeos, pretty good. But it's not enough. It's not enough for where they should be right now.
And that's the concern for me. This evolution, and I've got to, you know, give some credit, the way that Wales are playing is much more exciting and at times much more effective.
But who cares? You know, a loss is a loss. Who cares?
Yeah, and that's fine. That's something to have done in 2015, not the end of 2017.
Exactly right, yeah. And that's a worry for me. And their replacement, they called up, it was Jamie Roberts, late call-up. He appeared on the pitch with, 30 to go. Jamie Roberts is an all-time national hero. But is he the right guy to bring on to turn around the game with 30 minutes? The answer is no, he's absolutely not. And if you're going to move on from Jamie Roberts, either Jamie Roberts plays every game from the start, or you move on. But you can't be having him as an impact sub, or, you know, turning to him last minute. They've got to decide exactly which way they want to go with this.
Right, a couple of positives for me. Halimeos, I thought, played well. Josh Navidi looks good.
Really good. I was very impressed with his performance. Shame he won't be able to keep his shirt because, of course, that belongs purely to Sam Warburton. But he did very, very well. And it's a couple of caps which were long overdue.
And I thought Wayne Barnes was really good. Did you see he brought the bants in kind of Nigel Owens fashion, which I know you would have loved?
Did he?
Yeah, he was just a couple of little jokes here and there.
Banter, not into it.
Can't remember the content of the jokes, but. Anyway, I thought you'd appreciate that, knowing how much you love that from Nigel Owens. But some negatives. I'm not convinced. Shingler is an international player. Amazing club player.
Wrong. I think he is, actually. I really rate him. I think in a slightly different back row, including Warburton, he'd be very effective.
For New Zealand, I don't know. It's hard to judge them because they've had some creaks for a little while now. But they have just comfortably beaten Wales. I don't know whether I should... And Bowden Barrett seems happy.
But what were you expecting? I mean, how long has it been since Wales have beaten New Zealand? 100 years? 200 years? Rugby wasn't even invented last time that they beat New Zealand at a roughly equivalent game. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me one bit. And I think New Zealand could have picked up 6 or 7 more injuries and still have won that.
A couple of things I did love, though. Aaron Smith taking one to the face. The pass. I can't remember who passed it to him from a line out.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed that.
Top marks.
And equally, Aaron Smith cleaning out. Which Welsh prop was it? He just piled... Like, you rarely see a scrum half just pile into one of the biggest men on the park.
You're not talking about Thomas Francis, are you?
It may have been Thomas Francis.
It worries me that he is the first choice starting tight head for an international team.
Samson Lee not injured?
Yes, he is. Currently? Yeah. So the fact that you've got to start with Thomas Francis, Exeter don't start with Thomas Francis. I'm sure he's a lovely man. I'm sure, you know, he's good round Exeter. He's not a starting tight head. Mm. And it's the single biggest worry that I have for Wales.
So just to remind you that we'll have another podcast coming out in a couple of days.
Maybe two,
which Phil will be on. In fact, yeah, let's do two. Let's do a World Rugby Award special with all of the content, and we'll sprinkle this podcast with some of it. And it'll also have Phil on the next podcast where we'll be talking about domestic rugby as well, because there's so much to talk about. And it's going to feel like an empty weekend next weekend. I don't know what we're going to do. But right now, let's hear from... Who do you want to hear from next?
Carlton... No, we're going to go with Carlton Arnold. Do you want to go with Carlton Arnold?
I think that should be on the special.
Yeah, fine. Yeah,
so for now, should we go Breakthrough Player of the Year, Rico Ioane,
Coach
of the Year, Eddie Jones, or all-round legend and chopper guru, Richie McCaw?
Chopper guru, Richie McCaw, please.
So we have here with us one of the only men who could take advantage of the helipads in Monaco, Richie McCaw. How are you doing? Did you chopper yourself in?
No, I didn't actually, but I got a fella come pick me up for a helicopter tomorrow, so it'd be good.
Oh, nice. Yeah. You're going to go sightseeing, or is it just to go back and forth?
No, actually, we're going to have a look around a factory in Marseille where they produce them. So,
really? Which one? This isn't for
real. No, we've got 2 minutes, come on. It must be nice having a night with your old pal, Dan, tonight.
Yeah, I haven't actually caught up with them yet, but same with Conrad and Joe Rockefoker. There's a few of the boys here, and actually guys like George Gregan and Victor Matfield, those sort of fellas. Actually really nice to, you know, without the pressure of rugby, to sit and have a chat.
stories you can tell about the battles you've had in the past?
Yeah, to be honest, you don't talk too much about that. I think, you know, it's just sort of, yeah, might be after a few beers, you do, but it's just nice to have a chat about what everyone's up to. Like, you know, genuinely interested to hear the guys you played against and now you're in the same boat and see what's happening.
Since you've hung them up, how are you replacing the intensity and, you know, all the things around rugby, which rugby provided you with?
A couple of ways, really. Like, definitely the flying side is that the challenge, and the, you know, you're always learning, so I think that's important. And I've also got into adventure racing, which, you know, multi-day, multi-discipline events, so, like, probably train twice as much as I ever have done, and I'm right outside my comfort zone on that with a team that are pretty good. And
what's adventure racing? Tell me about that.
Effectively, it's the race I'm doing in March. It's called the God Zone. It's 500 kilometres of mountain biking, trekking, kayaking, rafting, and they don't give you the course until right before the race with a compass and a map,
that's
and off
incredible.
You go.
Richie, I know time's short, so just one quick word on one of the men that was up on the big screen there, the youngster from New Zealand, Rico Ioane, frightening talent.
Yeah, absolutely. He does things that not many people in the world of rugby can do. We saw that last night when he's playing against Wales. And he's still a young man, so he's only going to get better, I'm sure. But really, I've enjoyed watching him play. And you think about guys that, you know, when you've got guys like Sevier, Dag, Smith, all those guys that you could have, and then he pops up, pretty good space to be.
Richie, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Well done on your road.
Thank you.
Cheers. And hopefully we can catch up for a chat about helicopters.
Yeah.
Some other time.
Good on you.
Take care,
Richie.
Richie McCourt, I would love to have found out a little bit more even about the... I still haven't understood this. Is it venture or adventure sports he's talking about?
Whatever it is, we get the gist. It's bloody difficult. So where he gets time to do all this stuff, I don't know.
What does he do? Like
chopper pilot?
Like that's his gig.
Yeah. So this is so cool, right? So you know, as we're in Monte Carlo Bay Casino, chatting to players, drinking Heinekens. Thank you to World Rugby for that.
The official sponsor of World Rugby, the official beer of rugby, is that right?
Yeah, something like that. You've got it close enough, right? As soon as he had left and did another interview, I then called him over, and we got to talk about aerospace for what, 2-3 minutes? So cool. He's actually been in a tornado, as in the Eurofighter.
What's a tornado? Sorry.
The Eurofighter fast jet type thing, which is amazing. It's simply amazing. The guy has done everything. So yeah, it's pretty cool to say he was chatting to Richard McCaw about aerospace in Monte Carlo once. That happened.
So when he, is he like a military helicopter pilot or is he commercial? What does he do?
Commercial.
Okay, right. Well, anyway, what a thoroughly thigh slapping good chap. And that's again coming to events like this. You know, and JB and I feel extremely lucky. To be here and to be doing this, but what I really value is how just how good the people are, just top to bottom, whoever they are. Someone with 148 international caps, or someone who's the runner working on the little TV operation here. Just good people in rugby. I love it.
Yeah, it was so touching as well. I mean, for Richie McCaw to say, hey guys, I've always wanted to meet you fellas.
Yeah.
You know, finally my career is complete.
Yeah.
That meant the world to me.
Yeah, and to say, can I have that club tie? Sorry, that one's for Bowden.
Yeah, so we bought two. We've not decided who we're going to give the second one to yet. But yeah, he couldn't. And maybe if we'd known he wanted one, we could have bought him an extra one. But he had to turn his request down for a club tie. That was a shame.
Yeah, it was. Where do you stand on these personal awards? In a team sport that is so reliant on the context of the team, like individuals can still shine, obviously.
I think the answer to that is, from a team point of view, I don't think the team's particularly rate them, okay? Because they're always talking in their team speak, aren't they? Which is, hey, one game at a time. We're going to worry about what we can do, our performance, all about it. I mean, if you pin one of these people down and you say, hey, you played really well today, you're the reason that this team's winning, they'll almost always say, whether it's because of media training or whatever else, no, it's because of the team. On the other hand, it is an amazing opportunity to showcase rugby. There's nothing wrong with adding a bit of glitz to the game, which is, for so long, was afraid of exactly this sort of thing, which is basically professionalism and, you know, everything else it brings in. And it's a great event. It's a great event which showcases the best sport in the world.
Agreed. I completely agree. So I'm just going to, at this point, just remind you that this podcast is made possible in part by the wonderful people at Cornerstone, who make, in our opinion, and in many, many, many people's opinion, and in the case of some award wins, they've had their opinion as well. They are that it's the best razor you can get, and you can get it for the price of £4. You can get your aluminium, weighty, heavy metal shaft, none of this plastic nonsense, engraved with your own initials, 6 precision-engineered German razors, and all for the price of £4 in a presentation Cornerstone box by going to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or
Egg 10 at checkouts.
And while we're talking cash, £4, that doesn't equate, I don't know whether it's the exchange rate or whatever, but that doesn't equate to much alcohol on the Côte d'Azur, does it?
No, it doesn't, Tim. That is fair to say. What was the... Actually, no, I'm not going to tell you how much money we spent in Nice last night. It was a lot.
Yeah, and it also doesn't equate to many miles in a taxi.
My
back
God,
to Nice.
My God, my God. I got a taxi from the airport, 4 kilometres, €45. Cheers. So, yes, you're right. It does not equate to much here.
On to more rugby then. And yeah, I think by this point in the day, we were starting to get very, very... well, we weren't really totally grasping everything that goes on, so we're going to have missed things. But I want to mention France Japon. I loved it. We were trying to get the... We were asking the barman, what's Japan in French? Japon.
Seems okay. Spelled like that. Japon.
Japon. So, 23 all, it finished. And I think that's arguably result of the weekend.
Is it result of the
well,
weekend?
Well, Scotland spanking Australia.
Scotland obviously. Is result of the weekend. It's an interesting result, I'll give you that much. Japan played very, very well. France just continued to decline and continued to disappoint. It's a real shame, actually. I did love the stadium, though. The stadium was amazing. I assume that is Racing's new place.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't know, but I saw it as well. And if you didn't see it, what's special and interesting about the stadium is it's kind of the crowds on three sides, a bit like the Aviva Stadium in Dublin, where there's that one small tier with the glass windows. But the whole of one end was just one enormous jumbotron screen.
It feels very futuristic, doesn't it? It looks great. Big fan of it.
It does look good. Big fan of that. So well done, Japan. 23 all.
Who?
Japon.
Yeah.
Sorry, Japon. We weren't totally concentrating on England Samoa.
No, not really. I didn't think there was much really to gain from this.
There weren't many French bars showing rugby either. We had to go to Mar Nolan's Irish bar in Nice, which was lovely.
Yeah, delightful little place. Yeah, good.
And we, on the Côte d'Azur, we wanted to sample the local cuisine. So what was the only food we had on Saturday?
Oh, yeah. So we had, I don't know what do French call it? Nachos. Yeah. Had nachos at the bar.
So we did catch a bit of England Samoa. I think probably what we'll do is just a very brief takeaway and let Phil fill in most of the gaps, because he would have done nothing but watch it intently with his laptop in front of him, furiously making statistical notations. So I think England will be satisfied, but there's a lot still to do. It's quite frustrating. They were not in the same way as Italy last year in the Six Nations with the offside line and stuff, but Samoa really got into their ruck, massively disrupted it.
It's... You've got to be careful talking about this, because the game is basically marred by all the off-field nonsense prior to it, which we're not going to talk about now. In terms of the rugby itself, I just find it... I don't necessarily think that England put their best foot forward. Samoa were good in patches. I mean, the try score by the second row, actually, that finish was sensational. But I think the questions will be more around England's ruck more about England at the ruck rather than how good Samoa were at the ruck. That might be a bit harsh.
No, I hear what you're saying. I think all we need to do, England, is just keep playing okay for England's on England's measure of what okay is, and then just blitzing it in the last 15 minutes. They seem to have made a massive habit of this.
Yeah, so do you want to know something which I found quite interesting?
Always.
The water boy was Owen Farrell. Now, usually, this wouldn't be interesting, right? Because lots of, you know, there are lots of players that carry on water when they're not picked. It's interesting that Owen Farrell was water boy because when you think of England and the structure that they have, are you aware they have no attack coach?
I'm going to start defence. Steve Borthwick forwards. Oh, yeah.
Are you aware they have no backs coach?
Well, it must be Eddie, right?
Owen.
What?
Owen Farrell takes a massive leadership role in that team, and I'm not saying he's coaching the team, but someone is. Someone must be designing backs moves, and someone must be leading the way. And I thought it was very telling how every chance he got to get on the field to, you know, to give out water, he was running on with messages, talking to the lads, and it tells you really how reliant they are on him, not just as a player, but also as a personality, a leader, and maybe to some extent, an architect of their attacking play.
I'm not sure. Reliant? Is that too strong?
Where would England be without Owen Farrell? I mean, if you took Owen Farrell away from the picture tomorrow, where would they be? Not out of the 15, out of the entire squad.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I
think they're completely reliant. Half of this test for me, these last three tests, have been about England proving themselves. They are not reliant on Owen Farrell and Mauro Todgi. And actually, I think what they've proven more than anything is they are really reliant on at least one of those guys, and that is Owen Farrell.
That's an interesting perspective. What do you make of that? At Rugby Podcast, you can tweet us. I just want to read this. We got tweeted this by... because we can't read this ourselves because for some reason Times Rugby correspondent Stephen Jones blocked us.
Hey, can I say, I met Times Rugby correspondent Alex Lowe today, who is a very charming man. Very, very nice indeed.
Charming man and a very good rugby writer. Now, Adam Tebb.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
But is the guy who got in touch. Stephen Jones is Sunday Times article started. England have perfected the trick this autumn of coming late and hard and even gloriously. So interesting. It's perfectly accurate. I just quite like the choice of words.
But girth's out of order, is it? So what I would say is, yeah, he's basically right. And the last-minute flourishes have been impressive, but what has been less impressive has been how England have developed their game. I worry, you know, England are on the cusp, and I, you know, sometimes being early is the same as being wrong, but I think they are on the cusp of a sort of meltdown. Actually, I don't think it's going to come this Six Nations, but I think they are. I worry about them.
What do you mean meltdown? I can't understand the. The logic behind what you're saying. What do you mean?
Right, okay, so what I mean by the impending England meltdown is I sort of worry about where the game plan is going, right, which is more power, more power, more power, more power. I mean, it's just, almost to the extent that they've got, 4 second rows on the field and then
and then an eight in the front row. I think also the way Eddie is managing the team, or his style of management, is very short term. Everyone's uncomfortable all the time. He's continually shuffling the pack. Look at his backroom staff. I mean, most of them have left, or they've been turned over. The turnover of staff there is rather large. And going forward, I wonder if the intensity which he brings, and the reason that he's successful so far, will be the reason that coming up to the World Cup, 4 years of it, is just too much. And maybe we're not on a cusp of it now, but I think maybe towards the end, maybe Six Nations are going to show up a few cracks in what England's doing.
See, I take a different view and think that, rightly or wrongly, and it seems to be rightly for the most part, he's been, Eddie Jones' eyes, has been, he's like been layering this team. He's kind of, it's like you know, those scenes in The Matrix where they go, I want to learn Kung Fu, right, I'm going to plug that in. He's kind of been doing that with England gradually, and it's all started, and defence has been his focus for 2 years. What he did say before the autumn was, now we need to start developing the attack. I just don't think that is there yet. But the defence is absolutely immense. All the basics, the defence, the set piece. And I think it's unlike Wales, who are kind of going, Warren Gatland's going, maybe I do need to evolve. Oh, God, I've wasted the last 2 years. I could have been developing this for 2 years. I think Eddie Jones has got that process in mind. And we need to see, I would like to have seen it a bit more in the autumn, but Six Nations, we have to see that ruthless attack coming to the fore now. That ruthlessness is a little bit what England have got in those last 20 minutes. Take it to a World Cup. I think that last 15 minutes, you know, Eddie Jones said finishes, but as much as we talk about that, I think that could be World Cup winning. That kind of fitness and that impact.
I don't think they've improved since Six Nations. Okay, so I thought Six Nations, they had gradual improvement. I was very, very shocked that they lost to Ireland. I would not be shocked in any way if in the next Six Nations they lose to both Ireland and they lose to Scotland.
They're playing Ireland at Twickenham.
I think Ireland might be the best team on earth at the moment. I think them and the All Blacks are like 1A and 1B. So I think Ireland will take them. I mean, we're talking about like Six Nations predictions here, and you know, a lot can change from now until then. But if you think about the way that England play, how would they go and beat Ireland? Well, you know, it'd be power, power, and more power. I mean, they're not going to beat them with flowing, sweeping backs moves, for instance.
I don't know. I think you've got. I'm not necessarily saying they're going to start, but now what you've got is Lazowski, the Slade train is back on the rails.
Mm. Did you see his pickup, by the way?
Oh my God.
Like the best bit of skill, but unfortunately the whistle has gone. The simple things, eh?
Yeah, it was just like that Bowden Barrett in the Lions test.
Yeah, it was amazing, actually.
The Slade train. He's got to have some downsides as the Slade train. Sorry, Debbie, what are you going to say?
I'm just ruminating now, but this is just a thought I've had. Maybe the reason England are so fly half heavy, you know, Pierce Francis, Owen Farrell, George Ford, Lazowski, Slade. Maybe the reason they want all of these playmakers, and they continue to do so, is because of the lack of an attack coach and the lack of an attacking game plan. Maybe the attacking plan is get the most talented players who know the most about how to attack and just hope that they all gel and get it done.
And also, I think it's such a critical position if you're going to win a World Cup to have guys like that. You know, and I mean, let's not forget Dan Carter didn't play most of the last World Cup
in the build-up he wasn't around. You're right.
So having these playmaking guys in such critical positions, having this extra depth in these critical positions is going to be massive. Johnny Sexton goes down, Ireland are a totally different team. Obviously you're not going to be able to replace Owen Farrell, but there's players that are getting test caps under their belt who can approach something like Owen Farrell.
That is an interesting question. Who is more reliant on that on one individual? Ireland on Sexton or England on Owen Farrell? That is a great question.
That is a great one. Let's save that one for when we're chatting with Phil. You can have a think and let us know at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Right. Seeing as we've just been talking about England, should we hear from the boss?
Rachel Burford.
Eddie Jones.
Sorry, I forgot we interviewed him as well.
Yeah, we did. We chatted to Eddie Jones.
It's a tough gig.
What are we going to do with the other interviews? Are we going to put them in a different podcast?
Yeah, I think we'll do a, World Rugby special podcast later in the week, which features someone that, I've never spoken to before, didn't know a lot about, but Carl Tanana, former, well, which is one of the greatest sevens players of all time, and was a thoroughly nice chap.
Yeah, he's good fun. Right, okay, here we go.
And he, just to tease ahead to a future podcast, so hit subscribe in the feed, he absolutely ripped some of his fellow Kiwis and their hairdos a new one. That's all we'll say.
Yes, he did.
Right, so here's Eddie Jones.
Eddie, congratulations on your award. What does that mean?
Look, you know, pleased as punch personally, and it's a great reward for the team. Yeah, because this is about the team and the staff. And as I said on the podium, I'm also a little bit embarrassed because I always think it should go to the coach of the number one team in the world.
It is a strange concept, isn't it? Like the idea of individual awards within, you know, such a team sport.
Definitely, but you know, we don't decide that. You're better off getting the best coach than the worst coach.
You mentioned the team of coaches you've got. I'm fascinated to know if there's any more maverick moves to squeeze that extra 1%. You know, Paul Gustard in the past has had Wolves and Snakes when he was with Saracens and Poems and things like that. Anything else, anything this autumn he's pulled out the bag?
We're always looking for new ideas. Gustard's, you know, he's very inventive. I don't think he sleeps at night. He's always thinking about a different way to motivate the boys.
And what's your kind of assessment now? How satisfied are you with the way things are?
Well, you're never satisfied, you know. We're moving in the right direction, but we've just got to keep going, mate.
Yeah.
Now, I keep tabs, like most rugby fans do, of things that you get up to. And the other day, I was watching you on YouTube at the university, I think the Oxford University Union. What other strange things have you been able to do because of your role in the England job? It seems so peculiar.
Yeah, again, I was a bit embarrassed being at Oxford Union. You walk in there, there's photos of Nelson Mandela and Bill Clinton, and you got a rugby coach in there. We're just being able to get access to various sorts of football teams, you know, being able to meet the Chelsea coach, met the Man City coach, being able to see what those players do, attend the English football training sessions, attend England women's hockey training sessions. Yeah, we've got opportunities to learn all the time.
Do you quite enjoy the contrasting of the various sports?
Oh, I love sport, you know, and I love seeing what other coaches do, and I love seeing what other coaches do that are better than what we do.
Yeah. Speaking of sport, you got your eye on the Ashes?
I have been watching it. I've been very interested in the commentary on it. You know, as everything in the world, everything becomes instant now. So you win one day, you're on top, you're going to win the Ashes. You lose the second day, you know, that's the end of the Ashes. It's just so instant now. But, you know, I think Australia was always going to go close to winning the test at the Gabba. That's a difficult test for the English players, and the next test becomes so important for them.
And, of course, Rugby League Cup final. Will you be watching that?
Well, I watched the first game. I thought it was a great game of Rugby League, and I'm really going to be interested in watching the final. I think that, you know, Wayne Bennett's done a terrific job with the English side. It's just a matter of whether they can go the whole 80 against the Australian side that never stops.
Eddie, thank you so much for your time, and enjoy your night in Monaco.
Okay, will do.
Thank you, Eddie. Cheers. Take care. Thanks so much.
Eddie Jones, big cricket fan.
Yeah, he got quite animated. He's probably more interested in the cricket than he is about talking about England. But, yeah, God, guy, can't blame him.
No, and you can understand that as well. I suppose he can have a little bit of a break now, but it's been a long year of international rugby.
Do you find he had a very nice, you know, after everything I've just said about England, you know, what, 4 minutes ago, very easy manner about him when you're talking to him. Do you find?
Yeah, he seems like quite a zen kind of guy.
Yeah, I completely agree. He's an interesting character.
Comfortable in his own skin. It would be. Just seems like a nice chap. Like you say, didn't give too much away, but they never do. And the way it works is he's got like a half a dozen different people that he's going to chat to. All these guys have, and then they just plonk them on a seat, and we say hello, right, and start asking questions. So I suppose he's never going to open up in 90 seconds chatting to two strangers.
Yeah, quite.
But there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah. Have you been watching the Rugby World Cup? League World Cup, sorry?
No, I haven't. I was flying. No, I wasn't. I was going to the airport when the England game was on. I heard it was incredible.
The England Tonga, yeah. I need to
get you watch it.
No, I didn't. I want to. I need to. Right, so where are we at then? Oh, Ireland.
I can't remember who Ireland played, mate.
Argentina.
Oh, yeah,
Good win.
I don't know. I didn't watch it because I think Scotland won at the same time. Something happened. I didn't watch it. But, yeah, good win against an Argentina team who I feel are struggling.
Well, you know, in terms of struggling, I think that it is 10 to midnight right now.
Is it?
There's a room full of people through there involved in the world of rugby, playing and coaching and stuff, and we could be doing some really valuable networking.
Well, you've got to do editing, mate, so that's fine.
So I think we should. I think we're starting to wane after a heavy weekend on the south of France. So we're going to sign off from Egg Chasers now. But hit subscribe. We will be back with Phil, who will add a lot more thought and fact and logic to proceedings.
Quality.
That's the word I was looking for. He'll have more quality, and then we will have a domestic rugby podcast and, like I say, a World Rugby Awards special coming in this feed very soon. So hit subscribe, tell your mates. Anything else you want to say, JB?
Let the boys play.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.